Good morning. On the board, we have a question mark. And the question is, how great is God? Now, that isn't something that human beings can really know the magnitude of the fullness of God's greatness, but there is things that can be spoken that point to his greatness. Sister Charlotte Husky's latest book is How Big Is God? And in her writings, I haven't read it all, but she's able to tell of how God manifested himself in a great way in her life, in the life of her family. And if you haven't read that book, you might get one and read it. And the title is How Big Is God? Now, today, and in the past, or there has in the past been messages preached about things relating to God's greatness. There has been books wrote about his greatness. There has been articles wrote also related to God's greatness. And so he is a great God. And if you have your hymnal, you might turn to page 43. And the author or the writer of this song is explaining some of God's greatness or telling about God's greatness. Our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. So the earth is visible of his greatness. The sea in its vastness, and in the sky, the heavens are a testimony of God's greatness. He rules o'er all in majesty from his royal throne on high. The raging winds and waves are calm when he says to them, be still. The heavens praise him in a song, and the angels do his will. He maketh worlds by his command, weighs the mountains great and high. He meets the waters in his hand, spans the lofty starlit sky. Our God, to save from sin's control, gave his Son a sacrifice. His grace abounding in the soul makes the earth a paradise. Chorus. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve, reigning now above on his throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. And then the scriptures that speak of his greatness in Psalms 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. This writer was saying, not just great, but thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? Who layeth the beams of his chamber in the waters? Who make the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Dropping over to the 105th psalm there. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of those that of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now, these scriptures bear out greatness. Some of these scriptures that I read, they bear out the greatness of our God. He is, can words really describe him? If you said he was sensational, if you said he was fabulous, if you said he was outstanding, awesome, all of those words could relate to him, but he is so great and so powerful, and it's good to be like the songwriter. He said, when I consider, if you consider the greatness of God, the worlds thy hands had made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power through all the universe display. And in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, it speaks of how about the stars. And this song says something about the starlit sky. And every star there is, and there are millions of them, but each one of them have their own name. God has named every star. And that is just, is it mind-boggling? But at any rate, maybe if you look up in the heavens, you can't distinguish. Some are larger than others, but God knows the name of every one of those stars. That is really something. And the people of God, the hairs of their head is numbered. And that is an awesome thing. Normally, a person with a full growth of hair, they can be thousands of hair. So that something that minute, and yet God knows how many. So he is a great God. And there are stories that have been told numbers of times of his greatness, and had somewhat of a Sunday school lesson about the three Hebrew boys that were staunch in holding to the right, and they were able to withstand the pressures of the king that had made had the big image made, and how the people of prominence was invited to come and be in this celebration of this big, huge idol god, and how that these three Hebrew boys was able, through the power of God and the greatness of God, to say no to the king and yes to God, and not to bow down in the time period frame that they were supposed to bow down and worship this God. And the consequences was that if they didn't bow down, that there was a furnace that awaited them. And this these three Hebrew boys was part of the Sunday school today. Didn't know that when I had some thought about speaking about the three Hebrew boys. I didn't know I was going to be in the Sunday school lesson. But at any rate, God was able to keep those three Hebrew boys that had it settled. They didn't have a backup plan to keep true to the true God. And then the men that threw them into the furnace that was heated seven times over the amount that had been heated, they were slain. They died just from the onslaught of the opening of the furnace and throwing those Hebrew boys in. And so, instead of being cremated, they were able to walk out of there and they didn't even have the smell of smoke. I think that's a great manifesting of the power of God to do preserve their lives in such a way that the king had to recognize this is something beyond human. This is something that's great. And he had to recognize that. And he gave them special attention. Oh, today our God is so great. If I was only able to portray him as the great and mighty God that he is. And there was the mention today of... So he kept them alive in the fire. There was a mention today of Daniel. I had thought of him before the Sunday school lesson too. And Daniel was brave and dared to be true to his God. He valued prayer above his own life. And he stood by his value. And he was able, through the power of God, to continue on with his prayer life and to be able to be kept alive in a den of lions. That is outstanding, that God had his hand so mightily upon those hungry lions, they did not mess with Daniel at all. He come in to that den of lions, and he was also taken out of it without any kind of bites on him. And so God's greatness was displayed many times in the Old Testament, the fire that fell from heaven, the time that Jonah was swallowed by the fish, and actually men and women were made to breathe underneath the water, and especially inside of a big fish. But God preserved his life and kept him alive in there, 3 days and 3 nights. These are real, true stories. They're not something conjured up by people's imaginations or fairy tales. These are real, true manifestations of the greatness and power of God. And that great power didn't stop in the Old Testament. It was displayed and manifested time and time and time again in the Old Testament, the power of God, his greatness and his wonderful, the plagues that was in Egypt to break down the stubbornness of Pharaoh and to get him to release the people of God that they might be free to go to the land of promise. It was the plagues that was so much of a interruption in the lives of the Egyptians, and yet he kept it in their boundaries. It didn't come over and affect the children of Israel. That is something great. And how God, when it was time for the birds of the air to come into the ark, Noah didn't get out there with a bird catcher thing and get those birds out of the air. God directed them into the ark. That was a miracle too, that these birds that was used to having their freedom and flying around in the heavens, that God would bring them into the ark, and they were to be there for a period of time. These things are outstanding, are they not? Of the proof of there is a God and there is power in him. And his power was not just restricted to the Old Testament. His power come through to the New Testament. And there were miracles and miracles and miracles that was wrought in the New Testament. A lady named Dorcas was a friend to the poor, and she had something that she died. And it so touched these poor widow women. The widow women have disadvantages, and it touched them, and they were grieving over Dorcas' death, and God showed his power through bringing Dorcas back to life. And oh, the lame man that was lame from the time he come from the womb into a man of adult age, and God manifested his power by healing that lame man, and he was so happy. He was leaping and shouting, and he hadn't ever walked or had a lesson in walking, but he didn't start out crawling. He didn't start out taking the first steps. He was able, from the time that he was healed and stood on his feet, to be able to walk. And he was not just walking, he was leaping. And when he come down, he had good balance. He was even leaping and shouting and praising God. Now that's a manifest, a power of God, that he was able to do that for this man. Oh, his power is awesome and outstanding and wonderful. And thank God that it didn't just happen in Bible times. In my lifetime, there have been great manifestations of the power of God. I read about Sister Faith Stewart. She had a book that give a number of incidents of answers to prayer. And she was in a Havana, Cuba, in a home for children. And their water dried up. And before it got completely gone, it was muddy. Well, they didn't have water for cooking, bathing, cleaning, laundry. They were without water. So the government come out, and they had something they put down into the depths, down in the earth, and their discovery was no water. Dry. No water. After they heard the report of the government, some workers and Sister Faith got very serious. They got down and was calling on God, this great God, the great God that preserved the life of Jonah, preserved the life of the Hebrew children and Daniel and other miracles. They needed that God right then. They called mightily on God. They had prayed before, but this time they really got a hold of God. While they were praying, they heard someone say, "Water, water, clean water." And they went out and they had water. It was a blessing, not only to them, but it was a blessing to others that they were able to share water with. And Sister Melinda, it was Penner then. Later she married Flynn. But she was the manager of the home at Golden Rule for the senior citizens. And one time the well went dry there. It was on a Sunday afternoon. And no water to wash the dishes, to give people baths, to flush stools. The Lord impressed Sister Melinda Penner to to go out and pray. And she went out and laid her hands on something and prayed. She'd probably had many answers to prayer. And when she come back into the home, the water was running out of the faucet. The well, I don't think, ever went dry again. God is great, folks. His manifestation of love and mercy and goodness. He's a great and mighty God. Not only those incidents, but here not too many years ago, I was at the Pacoima, California Assembly meeting. And it was going on 2 o'clock at night. This person come to the door, and some of you know Brother Brian Rich. He was in his cabin, and I was told that he wasn't responding. And so him and his wife hadn't gone to bed, and I hadn't either. And so I went over there, and here he was laying on the bed, and he couldn't talk. And while I was there, they picked up his arm, and his arm was not normal. Well, there was an elderly sister there, and she had been praying, and she fainted. So they got her on, she was on Sister Sherry's bed, and Brother Brian was on his bed, and here they both, he says it was a stroke. Anyway, there was prayers offered, and some other ministers were supposed to come, and any rate, God divinely touched Brother Rich, and the sister she come to. And so there was a suggestion that there be a prayer of thanksgiving. And who prayed the prayer after God had intervened? But Brother Rich. He reached over and he got the sister's hand. She was on one bed and he was on the other. And he prayed. And the next day he was up on his feet and come to church. That was something I visualized with my own eyes. I seen that happen. Brother Charles Taylor was born with his legs, instead of going back, they went frontward. And he was just young, and God started changing that right before somebody's eyes that could see it. His aunt was holding him when the legs started turning. Yes. Not both of them turned at one time, but they both turned. He was able to walk and able to run. Yes. That was a great miracle. Oh, there are others. I remember Sister Ergel's daughter with the malaria that was so destructive to her physical health, and how she was in Africa and brought back to the States. And there was a prayer chain around the clock for Sister Karen. And God miraculously brought her through that. And she's a living witness of the great power of God. Oh, he's great. And also, Brother Michael. He got bit and very seriously, maybe close to death's door. But God brought him through that. Oh, there's just numbers and numbers and numbers of God's intervention in a divine way that proves, and he wants people to remember these things. He don't want them to forget the mighty works of God. Well, I had a place on the side of my face. that developed into something very ugly and very scary. It was a blackness around there. And I started out with a kind of a smaller Band-Aid. And I would buy bigger one and bigger. And it was awful hard to change it. It just had an effect on me when I would see that. It was very scary. It went on and on. And there was other side effects from it. One time, this eye was having problem, even my other eye. Down my face, it just had side effects, this did. And it was very, very much of a trial. This is not something that happened 20 years ago. This is something that God blessed me this year. Well, I was anointed, and on a Sunday, and that Wednesday after the anointing, I was able to start peeling some of that had affected my face. I started peeling it off. And that peeling off, I peeled and peeled. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen just within weeks. But over time, I've been wonderfully blessed. And I was in the store the other day where I had bought Band-Aids. And I went down the aisle of the Band-Aids. But I didn't stop and pick one up and put in my cart. Praise God. I was able to walk on away from them Band-Aids. If you know anybody that needs any, I've got some that I haven't used, and I don't want to ever use them. What a mighty God we serve. And also, the power of God can keep people and make them stand in very difficult time. Sister Sherita Phillips has had cancer, and it spread in her body to her bones. Well, I was in, and she lives in California, and I was in one of the meetings that she walked up and stood behind the pulpit, and she sang, and with this cancer in her body, she sang, "I love him too much to turn back now." Yes. I looked at her. Here she was, cancer. And one of the verses or chorus or something, I looked at her and she had her hand up. She had her hand up. She was witnessing. She loved him too much to turn back. Well, in January of this year was the last time that she was at church. It was in Wichita, Kansas, and the report come in that she went to church, and she also went out to eat to Red Lobster. They live in a two-story home, and she was confined to the upstairs. Well, I just heard since the Wichita meeting that she went to church last Sunday. So, is God great? He is a great and mighty God. And not only is he great in doing for the body, he is great in being able to help us in our attitudes, temptations, in our thoughts. He can control a person's tongue, emotions, and so he is the great and mighty God that we have a privilege to love, to serve, to obey, and live. I think the thought in the Sunday school was about vision, having a vision that we can live in a way that Moses did when he was able to turn down the possibility of being over that nation because he was looking beyond this life, the pleasures of sin for a season, the things that the flesh could be gratified with, esteeming the suffering and the things that went with choosing rather than the life of luxury, choosing suffering with the people of God. And he had a respect to the recompense of reward, the invisible being in eternity. So may God help us today that we will remember the greatness of God. I want to have the greatness of God in me, that I won't be a grouchy, critical, old senior citizen. I don't want to be that way. I want to be sweet and kind. And the power of God, like it was with Jonah, like it was with the Hebrew boys, demonstrated and manifested in me that I'll have a sweet spirit and I'll be loving and kind. That takes power because I tell you, I've been around some old people that they weren't sweet and they were bitter. But I don't want to be that way. I want to be sweet in the last stage of my life. And I want to be able to live with Jesus in eternity and to be with the Father, the great God that I have had the privilege to serve. Our Father, truly you are a mighty God. Help us not to bring you down to our level, man's level, with limitations and restrictions, but help us to see that you have unlimited abilities. You spoke the world into existence, and it's still in existence today. Lord, help us to be able to grasp the greatness of your power, and it may be great in our life, that when we're in difficulties, we might draw on that greatness, and that we might be blessed through this great and mighty power that you possess. Oh, help us, Lord, to be able to be faithful to you, not try to use any excuses for things, Lord, that you have power to control. We all need you, Lord. Oh, we all need you, Father, desperately in our lives from day to day. So bless us each one. Bless those, Lord, that are absent today from this congregation. Keep your hand upon this little flock here. May you be able to manifest your greatness in the lives of every one of them. May you keep them, Lord, close to you. May, Lord, you preserve all that are loving and trusting in you. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I request a song to be saying, "How Great Thou Art," and I believe it's in the blue book. I don't know for sure the number, But he is a great and mighty God.